We'll start off with, we said over in the past, but very worthwhile to chazer over to repeat again. Rabbeinu Bechai, Rabbeinu Bachi has the Hakdomo to Parshas Lech Lecha, and the Hakdomo is very interesting. Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha, Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha mi'atzecha, go away from your land, umi mi'ladetcha, mi'beis avicha, el ha'aretz asher hareka, to the land that I will show you. And Rabbeinu Bechai brings down the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ha'ilech es chachamim yechom, v'roya kesilim yiroya. One who goes with chachamim, associates with chachamim yechkam. He becomes smart, he'll pick up from their conduct, their behavior, and he'll become a chacham like them. But one who associates with fools becomes a fool like the people he associates with. A person is affected by the company that he keeps. And Meir Mechai brings down, v'yadua, that's known, ki ha-meschaber l'chacham, one who attaches himself, connects with the chacham, yehana, he has anah, first of all, he has good advice, a good teacher, and the chacham, v'ha-chacham, einoi chosekum, and the chacham does not lose anything at all. Even though the chacham is giving away his chachmah by teaching somebody else, he doesn't lose. And therefore, Torah is compared to a ner. Torah is compared to a candle. Like we say, ner l'ragli dvarecho v'or l'nesivasi. Torah is compared to a ner. And Chazal tell us, ner l'echad, ner l'meyah. A candle for one person is the same as a candle for 100 people. The candle in the room, it doesn't matter when there's one person in the room or 100, it gives off the same light. The light is not diminished in any way because there are more people in the room. A chacham, the same way. A chacham teaches chachma Torah. His chachma is not diminished in any way because he gives over to others. One candle can light another candle. And even though one candle lights another candle, the first candle is not diminished in any way. And Meir Mechai brings out a moshul to a person who goes into the store of the Baisim where they sell perfume, nice smelling besamim. What happens to a person who walks into a store where they sell perfume? He picks up the smell, his clothing, he absorbs the smell. And even though he doesn't buy anything at all, and he leaves the store later, but he walks out smelling nicely. Somebody walks into the tannery where they tan the leather, has a foul odor. Even though he doesn't buy anything, he doesn't take anything out, but he walks out of the factory, he smells bad, he picks up the odor. So too, one who is together with a chacham picks up the besamim, the good smell of the chacham. And one is with fools, the Rishoyim, picks up from the Rishoyim. Says Rabbeinu Avichai, V'hinei, Avram Avinu, Olav HaShalom, Ratzu Akayim, Inyin HaTayra V'Avayda. Avram wanted to fulfill the entire Torah. V'hutrach L'Hizar, he had to be very careful, Mechevras Anshei Doiroi HaRishoyim, from the Chevra, the people of his generation, that were Rishoyim. V'alkein, and therefore, Hashem came to Avram Avinu, and said to Avram, she is rachik mihem, he should go far away from the people of his generation, don't become dirtied or affected by them. He should go away, me'artsoi, umi me'ladatoi, el ha'aretz asherenu, to the land that I'll show you, and that's how the Pasha starts off, v'yayim Hashem Avram lechuch. Sometimes a person has to travel. He has to travel because the influences of the place that he's in, the environment that he's in, is not good for him. Hashem told Avram to travel. The Medrash Tanchuma brings down Kemat the other way around. The Medrash Tanchuma compares Avram Avinu to a person who had perfume, but he's standing in the middle of a cemetery. He's standing in the middle of the Beis HaKvaros with a bottle of perfume. What good is the fact that he has a bottle of perfume that smells nice in the middle of a cemetery where nobody can enjoy the nice smell? Go, leave the cemetery. If you go out and you spread into the world your perfume, people will have anah from the nice perfume that you have. So too Hashem told Avram, don't just stay where you are. Go out into the world and teach the world about Torah, about Hashem. Spread your perfume in the world by traveling out. Sometimes a person has to travel for the benefit of others. He has to travel to teach, to give over what he has. Avram traveled either to get away, like Rabbeinu Bechai learns, or to teach others, like the Medrash Tanchuma learns. We all go through lives. No one stays the same. People move around. People travel. Sometimes we have to travel because the environment that we're in is no good. The person knows and he has to move, he has to travel away from the place that he's in. And sometimes a person travels, or a person moves on in order to be able to teach others. But whenever a person travels, there's always a purpose in his traveling. Hashem told Avram to travel. Lechecha me'artzecha. Famous, the Haflah brings down the famous Kasha. We know that Lechecha is one of the ten Nisyonos, one of the tests that Avram had. Asar Nisyonos, Avram was tested with ten Nisyonos. One of the ten is Lechecha. And the famous Kasha is, Rashi tells us, what does Lechecha mean? Go for you. We go for you. Rashi tells us, Lahana Oscha, Utaybascha, the first Rashi. For your Hana, for your benefit, for your pleasure. Because here, you won't have Bonim, there you'll have Bonim, here you're not known, I'll make you famous in the world. And the Kasha is, that's an Asayin. Hashem tells Avram, travel, and I'll bless you, I'll give you brachas, I'll make you famous. Whatever you can't have here, I'll give you elsewhere. That's an Asayin. Who won't travel? Who won't go? Hashem says to travel, for brachas, who won't travel? The Akeid is an Asayin. Hashem told Avram, take your son and shecht him, that's an Asayin. But travel, lechecha, for your benefit? What's an Asayin? Anybody, Hashem promises a person to travel for brachas, Yeshuas, who won't go? What's the challenge? What's an Asayin? Now, for and others, the many tirutzim were given. One of the famous tirutzim is, the Asayin was, why did Avram travel? Did Avram travel because it was for his benefit? It was to receive a bracha? Or did Avram travel because Hashem told him to do so? Did he travel to fulfill the tzavah of Hashem? Or did he travel because it was for his benefit? And that's why it says in Pasuk Gimel, in Pasuk Dalid, Vayelech Avram, Kasher Diber Eilav Hashem. Avram went like Hashem spoke to him. Those words, Kasher Diber Eilav Hashem, are totally extra. Vayelech Avram, Hashem said to Avram, go, and Avram went. What is it adding on in Pasuk Dalid? Avram went like Hashem told him to go. Avram went because Hashem told him to go. So to Haflah, Kasher Diber Eilav Hashem, Avram passed the test. Why did Avram travel? Not because Avram went because he was promised a bracha. Not because he was promised fame. Not because of all the benefit that he would have. You know where Avram went? When Hashem spoke to him, Hashem told him to go. That was an assignment. To see why he would travel. Would he go because of the benefit that he would have? Or to fulfill the rotzon in Hashem? And says Pasuk Dalid, Vayelech Avram, Kashadi be'elav Hashem. He went to fulfill the rotzon of Hashem.
Who says this?
Afla. We always say over the story, we'll say it over again, Rav Nachum Shnobler was known for the mitzvah of picking shvuyim. He was Isaac his whole life in raising money to redeem people that were captured, put into prison, and he suffered many bizyonis and much embarrassment when he went around collecting for picking shvuyim. One day, some people were troubled by him, upset, and they went to the government, and they said Rosh Hashanah about Rav Nachum Shnobler, and it ended up that he was thrown into jail. He himself was thrown into jail. Yeah. And when some chassidim came to visit him, they said to him, Rebbe, how could it be? How you talking? Is that right? Your whole life, you were Isaac in the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, of redeeming people that were captured. And now you yourself are sitting in jail? You yourself are a prisoner? Is it right? Where's the midah connected to midah? How could this be? Nachum Shnobler said to them, it says in Parashas Lechecha, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lechecha me'artzecha, u'me'maratcha me'zavicha la'aretz asher ereka. Avram Avinu was the Machnas Eirich of the world. Who taught the world about Echnosas Archim? Avram Avinu. His tent was open on all four sides. Avram was the classical Machnas Eirich. And yet, what happens? Avram Avinu was told, pack up your bags and go travel. He becomes the wandering Jew. He becomes the wanderer roaming around. He doesn't even know what his destination is. To the land that I will show you. How are you talking? Is it right? Avram Avinu, whose whole life took care of travelers, people that were lost on the way, people had nowhere to go, nowhere to eat, and Avram took care of them. He himself becomes a wanderer. He has to wander around without a place to live, without a place to stay. Is it right? Where's the midah connected to midah? So the Rav Shnobler, you know what the pshat is? Just the opposite. Because Avram was a machnas eirich, Hashem wanted him to improve himself, become even better. The only way to teach a person how to do achnas eirichim better is if he himself fails, what it means to be on the other side. How does it feel to be the guest? Somebody whose whole life is busy feeding others, taking care of others, he sees it from his side, his viewpoint. He doesn't see it from the other side. Hashem wanted Avraham to be an Eirich, to have to travel around, stay by this hotel, stay here, rely on others. So this way Avraham would feel what it means to be a guest. And then when he has a chance to do Echnosos Archim, he'll do it even in a greater level, because he understands now what the Eirich feels like. So the Rachman Shnobo, the same is true. All my life I was Isaac and Pidyon Shvuyim. But Hashem wants me to see what it feels like from the inside. What it feels like to be a prisoner, what it feels like to be a captive. This way, after I'm released, it will give me more of a chizik and more koyach to continue to be Isaac Pinyin Shvuyim with more urgency and more care than I did until now, because now I understand what it means to be on the other side, on the other side of the fence. Always two ways to look at things. Lech lecha, people find themselves in different situations, travel, move on, it's not fair, is it right? There's a cheshbon to everything. Just we have to open our eyes, we have to look, but there's a cheshbon for everything. And the more a person looks, the more a person sees. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk tells us Avram went on his travels, Minegev and Beisel, Ad Hamokam Ashahoyisham Oholoi Batchiro, Bein Beisel Bein Oi. To the place of the tent, we had set up his tent in the beginning between Beisel and Oi. Even though Avram was now returning from Mitzrayim, and Avram was already a rich man, Paroi had given him wealth, Rashi tells us, Vayelech Masov, Perik Yud Gimel Pasuk Gimel, Kishachaza, when Avram returned from Mitzrayim to Canaan, he went and he slept in the same hotels, Bali Chosoi, that he slept in when he went down to Mitzrayim. To teach you Derech Eretz, Shoyishana Odom Yachsanyo Sheloi. A person shouldn't change from his host. If somebody put somebody up, and he was Machnas Eirech and took care of him, he should treat that person with respect, and on the way back, stay by him as well, and not change where he stayed, just because now he's wealthier and he could afford to stay in a better place. Rashi means that a second pshat, that he returned to pay back his debts. He owed money, he returned to pay back his debts. I know we said this over, Yaakov Galinsky says very nicely, what's the Derech Eretz? L'medcha, the Torah is teaching us Derech Eretz, that a person should stay in the same inn, and the same host that he stayed on the way down, stay on the way back. What's the Derech Eretz? Well, Mason, right now, his situation in life changed. Now Avram could afford the 5-star hotel. So what's the meaning of going back and staying in the same place that he stayed on the way down? And he says, Pasha, two svaris. A is that the world's a gaga achayza. The world is a wheel that turns. Tell you a person can have money, tomorrow things could change. A person who suddenly has money and he changes his whole standard of living, his whole way of life, who knows how long it's going to be for. He's much better off, Derech Eretz, staying where he was and not upgrading himself and getting used to the finer things in life in case things turn upside down. And second of all, a person should become a bagayva. Suddenly he's a wealthy man. Oh, now all of a sudden whatever was good until now is no good anymore. And now he needs everything better. A person changes and the wealth that he has will ruin him. It will destroy him. It will turn him into a bagayva. And Mavlinsky tells over the story. There was an oni in the town in the Vardik. Rabbi Yosef was his name. Very poor man. And his friend Reb David came over to him one day and says, listen, I know you're a poor man, but you know what? I sell lottery tickets. And the way it worked then was not the way it worked today. They used to have the lottery, I think it was once a year, and there was all kinds of cheshbonos, how you could win with the numbers and so on. He said to his friend, listen, what does it hurt you to buy a lottery ticket? Buy a lottery ticket and take your chances. You might get lucky, who knows? So Rabbi Yosef said to his friend, I don't even have the money to buy a lottery ticket. So his friend said, you know what? You have a whole year to buy it. You have a long time. How about each week you put away a few pennies, a few coins, and I'll save up for you and I'll buy you a ticket at the end before the lottery. Fine. Each week he gave him a few coins. He saved it. At the end of the year, he bought him the lottery ticket. And Rabbi Yosef has the lottery ticket. The lottery takes place, and Rabbi David, since he was the one who sold the tickets, when they picked the winning numbers, he was notified by a telegram, a messenger, that these were the winning numbers. It was late at night, he gets the message, these are the winning numbers. He checks his list, and lo and behold, Rabbi Yosef wins. He matches up the numbers, Rabbi Yosef, the Ani, who bought the lottery ticket, has the winning numbers. It's already late at night, snowing outside. Rabbi David can't hold himself back, and he says, no matter how late it is, I have to tell Rabbi Yosef that he won. And he starts walking through the snow, late at night, to Rabbi Yosef's house. He comes to Rabbi Yosef's house, it's dark outside, it's dark inside, nobody's up. He doesn't bother him, he knocks on the door, and he knocks and he bangs until Father Rabbi Yosef is woken up and comes out of bed very tired, opens the door, and he says to him, what are you doing here? And Rabbi David says, I came to tell you good news. I came to tell you that you're a wealthy man, you won the lottery. And Rabbi Yosef Buxman says, for that you woke me up. He says, if I was a poor man, I understand you have the chutzpah to wake a poor man up in the middle of the night. But how do you have the chutzpah to wake up a rich man in the middle of the night? Okay. Says Rabbi Yaakov Gulinski, that's what happens to people. Suddenly a person becomes rich, and that's it. All of a sudden, everything changes. How do you have the chutzpah to wake a rich man up in the middle of the night? A person has to be careful. Everybody has their times of atzloch in life where they're successful and things work out and it's time of bracha. But we have to be careful. We have the atzloch, we have the bracha, we have to use it the right way, not chas v'shalom, use it the wrong way and turn it into a bagaiva and let it destroy us. But we have to use it the right, we have to use it the right way. Going back, the pasuk tells us, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Hey, says the pasuk, Vayikach Avram es Sarai Yeshnoi. Avram took Sarai his wife. Es Loit ben Ochid and Loit. Es Kol Ruchush Moshe Rechosh and all their possessions. The Es HaNefesh Asher Osu B'Choron. And the Nefesh that they made in Choron. Who are the Nefesh Asher Osu B'Choron? Rashi tells us, Shech Nisom Tachas Kanfei Yashchina. That Hashem brought them underneath the wings of the Shechina. Avraham Megayer Es HaNoshim. Avraham was Megayer the men. Besorah Megayer Es HaNoshim. And Sarah was Megayeres, the ladies, and the pastor considers it as if they made them because they were Megayer them and brought them close to the Shechina. There's a medrash, a fascinating medrash. The medrash brings down that a Zakir, an old man of 90 years old, came to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu invited him to eat. It was Machta Sarich. He took in his Zakir of 90 years old. And he fed him, gave him to eat and to drink. After the old man finished eating, Avram said to him, it's time to thank the one who fed you. It's time to thank the Boreim, the creator of the world. The Zakein pulls out a statue, a Getchke that he had, and bows down to it. He says, thank you. Now, Avram says to him, you're all mixed up. It's not the statue that fed you, but it's the creator of the world. And the Medrash says for 6 hours, Sheshois, Avram sat, and he tried to explain to the Zakein that there's a creator to the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the 6 hours, the old man was not convinced yet. He still believed in his idol, and they parted their ways. The Zakein went his way, and Avram stayed. Miyad says the Medrash, immediately, Nikola Elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem revealed himself to Avram, and he said to Avram, I am waiting 90 years, perhaps this old man will change his ways. Perhaps this old man will do tshuva, will do good. And all you have for him is 6 hours? You don't have any more time for him? I'm already waiting for 90 years. And all the time, you can only spend with him 6 hours? Avram picked himself up. He runs after the old man. Says to him, listen, it's getting dark outside. It's cold. Come, stay overnight. And tomorrow you'll travel. He comes back. The next morning, Avram feeds him. And he spends a long time talking to him. Until at the end, he finally convinces the Zakein as a Boir Elam. The Zakein takes the statue. He throws it on the floor. And it breaks into pieces. And he believes in Hashem. So it's a Medrash. Interesting Medrash. What's the point? How many times we give up so fast? How many times it's not worth it? It's not going to help. This person is too difficult. Can't. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm waiting all these years. And all you have is six hours. Chofetz Chaim, in the year Tafresh Ayin Beis, the Rav of the nearby city of Lido came to the Chofetz Chaim, and he asked him to come to speak in the city of Lida, because the mikveh was not usable, and he wanted to come speak and be ma'ir the olam, arouse the olam to raise the funds to build a new mikveh. 1912. Chofetz Chaim said fine, but he asked his son-in-law to come along with him. Whatever the reason was, the son-in-law was not available to come at that point. This was in the middle of the summer, and it got delayed. It came already Chodesh Elul. Chofetz Chaim says to his son-in-law, "Nu, it's already coming Yom Hadin, and if we don't go, what schus are we going to have to come before Hashem Yom Hadin? We have to go and take care of Klal Yisrael. We have to go and do what we can. Let's go now to the city of Lida, and let's speak to the Olam about raising funds to build the mikveh." They went to Lida, Chofetz Chaim spoke, didn't work. Nobody took the bait, nobody pledged any money, they weren't interested. And no funds were raised to build the mikveh. Chofetz Chaim went back home very disappointed. In the middle of the winter, the next year, Tofresh Ayin Gimel, Chofetz Chaim says, "I have to try again. I want to travel again to Lida and try again." And his family said to him, "It's the middle of the winter, it's cold. Why don't you wait till at least it becomes the springtime, a little warmer?" And he said to them, "You know why? Because after 120 years, they're going to say to me, 'Why didn't you travel in the winter to go to Lida to build the mikveh?' I'm going to tell them, 'Oh, it was cold outside.' You think that's going to be a good answer when I come to Shemayim? Now is a chance, I have a chance to go, I'm going now." He went, was not matzalich. Didn't work. Didn't have any takers. And they were not able to raise the funds to build the mikveh, and the mikveh was never repaired, never fixed. Years went by. Later on, the Chofetz Chaim planned to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Before he planned to go to Eretz Yisrael, he went around to many of the towns and the cities nearby to say goodbye, and people came to see him. He came back to the city of Lida. He came to Lida much later on. He got up to speak. And he said, "Rabbi Yisrael, I need a big favor from you. I'm an old man, and soon, in the near future, soon, I'm going to come up before the Bezdin Shomayim. And they're going to say to me, 'Rabbi Yisrael Meir, you lived in Radin. Radin is not that far from Lida. You had a town nearby, you had a town of Lida nearby. The town of Lida, the mikveh was not functioning. They needed a mikveh. Why didn't you do anything? Why don't you go ahead and help them build a mikveh, or have them build a mikveh in Lida?'" Says, "What am I going to answer? How am I going to answer the Bezdin Shomayim? I tried." He says, I want to ask you a favor. Just take out a shtar, take out a piece of paper, and write down that Yisrael Meir came here, and he tried to convince us to build a mikveh. He came in Tofresh Ayin Beis, he came in Tofresh Ayin Gimel, he tried over the years for us to build a mikveh, and it just didn't go. It's not his fault, it didn't go. He did his part. And I want everyone here to sign it with their names. So this way when I come to the Bezdin Shomayim, I could show them that I did my part. It's not my fault. It's not my fault." When they heard that, they got the wake-up call. And suddenly one of the Gvirim stood up and said, he pledges 500 rubles to the mikveh. And then the next person stood up. And after a short while of time, they were able to raise the funds, to build the mikveh. Okay. Never give up. Person never knows. Never give up. Sometimes things are difficult. Everybody has their challenges. Sometimes a person is asked to do something and it seems too difficult to do. Never give up. Hashem can wait 90 years and all we can give is 6 hours. Sometimes it's hard, takes time, but a person has an achrayus to give over his time to help others, to do for the tzibur as well. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it goes smoothly, sometimes it doesn't go so smoothly. But lachacha, person has to travel, person has to move and do the best that he can. Reb Chaskel Levinstein, Mashkiach Imponovich, Zatzal, says over a nice insight. It says later on in the parasha, Pasuk tells us that Hashem says to Avram, "I'm Hashem who took you out of Ur Kasdim." Referring to the mice of the Kipshon Eish, when Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into the Kipshon Eish. In Perek Tezvov, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk tells us, "Vayomer," sorry, no. sorry, that's not Pasuk Zayin. It's my fault. Perek Tezvo Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Yoav, Ani Hashem, Hashem Hotzi Sichem Ur Kasdim. I'm Hashem who took you out of Ur Kasdim to give you Losesu Chos Ha'artz Zayis L'Rishto. And Mir Kasdim refers to the whole Maisa with Nimrod, that Nimrod had Avram thrown into the fire, and Avram was saved. And the Pchatzko gets the posh of the question. Why is it that the whole story of Avram being thrown into the fire in Ur Kasdim is just mentioned in a few words in the Torah? It's mentioned in here in Lech Lecha, Perek Zayin, Perek Tezvav Pasuk Zayin, Ani Hashem who took you out of Ur Kasdim. It's hinted to at the end of Pashas Noyach, by Haran, Haran was thrown into the fire. The story is mentioned there. The Medrash discusses the whole story in length, but in the Psukim, it's hinted to in a few words. And yet, when it comes to the sign of the Akedah is a whole Perek in next week's Parsha, discusses the Akedah at length from beginning till end. And then the sign of Ur Kasdim, which is the first of the Asar Nisyonis, is given just a few words mentioned in the Torah. If you look at the two Nisyonis, in one sense, Ur Kasdim was a difficult Nisyon. Avram at that time, first of all, was him himself. The Akedah was more Yitzchak. Avram's life wasn't on the line by the Akedah. Now, Ur Kasdim, Avram's life, Avram was Moshe Nefesh's own life. Second of all, at that point, Avram was really on his own. He didn't have his Talmidim yet. He wasn't known throughout the world. Time of the Akedah, that already was much later in Avram's life. He was known throughout the world. He had Talmidim. Avram was Avram Avinu. Reb Chatzko says a very interesting idea. And he says, why did Avram give up, why was Avram willing to give up his life by the Akedah? Because Avram, at that time, recognized Hashem, believed in Hashem, and Avram, a piece of his own seichel, felt it was the right thing to do. Avram made his decision, it was the right thing to do, to give up his life for belief in Hashem. It was the right thing to do. It was his decision to do it. He was never commanded by Hashem to jump into the fire. It was Avram's decision, and as a result, he was Meiser Nefesh. The Akedah was a tzavah of Hashem. The Akedah, Hashem told him, go and take your son Yitzchak and bring him for a carbon. To Avram, it didn't make any sense. Avram, Hashem had just told him, ki v'yitzchak yikari l'chazara, that your children will be Yitzchak. And then Hashem tells him, take your son Yitzchak and bring him for a carbon. Hashem is telling him to do something that a person can't understand, doesn't make sense. It's a much harder nesayin. To do something in your own, to do something that a person feels makes sense, is logical, even though it's difficult, a person has the ability to do so. But to go ahead and to do something because Hashem said that doesn't make sense to the human mind is much harder, much difficult to do. And Avram was able to overcome it. He did the Akedah. He went and he bought Yitzchak for a carbon, or almost bought Yitzchak for a carbon, because Hashem commanded him to do so. That's a great nisayon. To do what's expected of you, okay. To do something that Hashem said to do without understanding it, and doing it only because Hashem said so, is at a much, much higher level. And that's a lesson for all of us. There are those mitzvahs that we enjoy doing, those mitzvahs we like doing. It's logical, makes sense. And those are the mitzvahs we do with the excitement. And then we have those mitzvahs that sometimes are a little bit difficult for us. It's hard to do. It's not that convenient, not so enjoyable. And we sort of lose our cheshek. But those are the nisyonos. Those are the nisyonos. That the mitzvahs that we don't always understand, the mitzvahs that are beyond our seichel, those are we expected to do as well, and those are a greater challenge than the mitzvahs that we understand. And without going into anything, current events, nobody understands. From A to Z, nobody understands what happened. The whole world said, it's not happening, and it's not, and it's not, and it's not. If anybody put money on it, probably won big, but it's not happening. And Hashem just says, a hin and a hair, and the whole event turns around, the whole election turns around, and what wasn't supposed to happen, wasn't possible to happen, happens. Happens. We don't understand it. Logically, we don't understand it. Obviously, Hashem has a plan. Hashem put him in the White House, and there's a reason for it. We have to misbow, and it should be good, and we shouldn't be overconfident in one way, and we shouldn't be depressed in another way. You see how the crying, the ones, her supporters were crying in tears. The world came to an end the next day. The sun came up. We daven shacharis the next day. We daven shacharis today. The world's not coming to an end. But the point is, we don't know. We don't know. The Mitzvah Shem will be good. Everything will work. Will work out good. We don't always understand why things. We don't always understand why things happen. But here we saw the Yad Hashem. You saw it. You saw it. The world said no. And Hashem said yes, and it happened. There wasn't even a Havamina that was going to happen. I don't think anybody believed. Anybody thought that he was going to win. It was going to happen. And it happened. Saw the Yad Hashem. Mitzvah Shem. It should be good. Work out for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Everything that happens is because of Klal Yisrael. Should work out good. And even though we're all sitting here, politics and trying to guess what's going to happen, it's going to be good and this and that, and everybody's busy. And I just want to give everybody credit that even though Tuesday night the Yetzer Hara was very overpowering for everybody to stay home and not come to share and watch what was going on, but we had a share, and I think we had a nice night through Tuesday night at a share. So Yashkoyach Erev for coming Tuesday night and learning. And in a chinam show, Tyra trumps all. What did he say? Tyra trumps all. Okay, Tyra trumps all. And Mr. Shem, Shag Mizaychet, to hear good news, Yeshuas, and Shem Sis Meshichs came here, Menu Amen.